It's amazing how God works. I really believe that we'd all be better off if we just went home now. Because that song was about this message. You know, this all started back, well, what's it been, about a month ago? In our youth Bible study, I don't know how in the world we ever strayed onto this, but sometimes we go down rabbit trails. We started talking about some of the traditions, and someone said, "Oh, you should preach about that." And I said, "Oh, no, I will not." Because it's a very sensitive subject when you're talking about through traditions and the culture of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I can tell you I've never been so nervous in my entire life to preach. Like Andrew said, "Well, you've done this a lot, you shouldn't." I know. Take the deep breath. Because I need to be very careful. Because this can go south really easy. And this is not the intent. I in no way intend to tell you what we should or should not be doing the way that we worship. I'm not trying to say that the traditions of our church need to be thrown out and we need to start over. It's not about the culture that we have developed within the church. It is, however, about going back to the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And I was hoping I would have a lot more time to prepare for this, but somebody decided that he was leaving here in, what, about a month? Yeah. Oh, shh. Okay, sorry. Anyway, we'll move right past. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I was hoping I had more time to prepare for this because this goes really deep. I'm a fifth-generation Seventh-day Adventist. So the traditions and the culture of this church mean a lot to me. But what means more? And thank you again for that song. Because it's not about what we do. It is about who we know. So if you will please pray with me. Dear Father, here I am. Speak through me. May the Holy Spirit only allow me to say what needs to be spoken. Only what you want to be said. And may in no way will I ever be condemning, because this church is a church that you have built. Built on a firm foundation. Be with us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So A.W. Tozer, or maybe it's Tozer, I think it's Tozer. A.W. Tozer puts it this way: worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us. And again this morning, that's what this is all about. I want to make sure and not offend anybody. And it could be offensive. I think I've lost a piece of paper. Here it is. Those who are engaged in the service for the Master need an experience much higher, deeper, broader than many have yet thought of having. Many who are already members of God's family, that's us, know little of what it means to behold His glory and to be changed from glory to glory. Many have a twilight perception of Christ's excellence, and their hearts thrill with joy. They long for a fuller, deeper sense of the Savior's love. Let these cherish every desire of the soul after God. The Holy Spirit works with those who will be worked, molds those who will be molded, fashions those who will be fashioned. Give yourself the culture of spiritual thought and of holy comings. You have seen but the first rays of the early glory of God. As you follow on to know the Lord, you will know that the path of righteousness is the light of dawn that shineth more and more until the perfect day, Proverbs 4:18. These things I have spoken unto you, said Jesus, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be full, John 15:11. Ever before him, Christ saw the result of his mission. His earthly life, so full of toil and self-sacrifice, was cheered by the thought that he would not have all this travail for naught. By giving his life for the life of men, he would restore in humanity the image of God. He would lift us from the dust, reshaping the character after the pattern of his own character and making it beautiful, the beauty of his own glory. Again, I just want to make sure that the things that are said this morning go to our heart and not just to our mind. Because sometimes our mind plays tricks on us and we go from the mind and we go, no, that was rather offensive. I don't, you know, he shouldn't say that. It needs to go to your heart and let God deal in your heart with the answers. It is about a relationship with God and determining why we do the things that we do. That's all that matters. I love the fact that last week Pastor Ashley brought up the raising of hands in church. Did you notice that from the first time he stepped on a platform when he had prayer, you know what he does when he prays? He lifts up his hands. I'm not saying that we should all lift up our hands, but I am saying that if you feel like lifting up your hands, then do it. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying that sometimes we get in these rut where we have these expectations, and the expectations are built on nothing. And we have to be built on that firm foundation. I love Louis Giglio, and one of his, and I can't remember the name of it, so I'm not even going to try. He talks about lifting up your hands. And he shows these pictures of all these people, and their hands are raised. And some of them are raised in fists. And then he tells the story behind the pictures. The story behind the pictures are, these are athletic events. And I would love to, I have to mention Rod, because every time I speak, I mention Rod, and he does the same. So when Rod's team wins, and it's not very often, because he likes the 49ers, I can see Rodney's going, yes! You know, the difference between raising a clenched fist and an open hand, you know what the difference is? Say it again. It's receiving. A fist clenched represents an authority. My team won. It's not my team. I can barely afford to buy, you know, one of the Minnesota Vikings jersey. I actually have an Adrian Peterson jersey. A real one. I know. But, you know, I sit and I watch Andrew, and Andrew's very animated when he watches a game. And whether it's his, I can't even say the words, one of the teams that he likes, and he's, yeah, it's my team, and it won. So why don't we do that with God? Because I know that Heidi gives me a really bad time, because when I read a book, you know what I do first? I go to the back. I go to the back because I want to know if the rest of it's worth reading. I know. Everybody that's actually a reader goes, oh, you can't do that. I do. But you know, the good thing about doing that with a Bible is I know the end. And so I can lift my hands to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm all yours. And it's okay. It was the 17th century. It was during the 30-year war in France. King Louis XIII, he hired a group of Croatian mercenaries. They showed up to work in suit coats. And they actually, at that point, they called them, and I will get this wrong because I don't do French, la cravate, cravat, which we now call a necktie. And I'm going to do something right now because I need to make any... Oh, I probably shouldn't have done that, should I? I did that last time, I think, too. And now I'm so tangled up. Sure, Zach. Because I think I've tied myself up.
I'm just going to...
So the tie looks pretty good with the shirt, didn't it? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, okay. But it was okay. I like Corey's tie. I like that. I have a few ties here. So what would you have said if I would have shown up in this one? Merry Christmas. That's good. I should have taken pictures and then had Charlie put them up. What about this one? It's a nice tie. You know what's on the tie? Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore. This is my favorite tie of all times. I only wore this tie when I was coaching the boys' basketball team. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tasmanian Devil. So what would you have said if I would have worn this tie? Thank you. It's okay to be honest. You remember this, Kyle? Yeah. So is it about the tie? Or is it about what you look like in the tie? Probably can't do this, can I? When you come to church in a tie, and I know that you probably really don't think about it because most people didn't really know this story, but you know what you are doing? You are representing the mercenaries that this king hired. That's why you wear ties. That's the only reason the ties were ever brought in. In fact, they liked it so much, the king said, you know, they look sharp. And so he demanded of his royal court to wear a jacket and a tie. But yeah, we call it a tradition in our church. I ask a number of you over the course of the last couple of, actually about the last month, why do you wear a tie? The only name that I'm going to mention is Pastor Don's. Actually, maybe Uridi's as well. Pastor Don said, tradition. Uridi's was his culture. It was the way he was raised. The last pastor we had, remember Pastor Walter? Pastor Walter always dressed very nicely. Regardless of whether he was in church or not, he was always dressed very nicely. In fact, we had somebody came to me and said, is there something wrong with that guy? Because he's always like dressed so nice all the time. He's out working and he's dressed so nice. And I said, no, this is a cultural thing. So if it's not about the tie and it's not about the coat, and I'll leave mine on because I'm sweating like a pig and I'll have these great big wet spots, and that's just, sorry. So what is it about? I get the whole idea of being respectful to God and coming before God with a humble heart and an open spirit. I get all that. But does this really have anything to do with it? It doesn't. But it's a tradition. It's the culture that we've been raised in. And I am not saying that you should stop. I probably won't. our scripture was about not offending people. Now, I hope that nobody here is offended, and if you are, please come talk to me later that I took off my tie. You know, Ellen White says you should never wear anything in the platform that makes you sweat. She says it. I am not taking off all of my clothes. I'm just saying. I'm staying right where I'm at. It's okay. But the point is that it really has nothing to do with our presentation, because if we are trying to impress God with this, we are in trouble. We are in serious trouble. Because God doesn't wear anything. He wears a robe of white. We can't impress God. And if I told you this suit only cost was about $10, $10. Suit and pants. My wife had to make some adjustments. You're less impressed now with a suit, aren't you? It's only $10. This tie costs more than the $10. We cannot impress God, so we need to stop trying. Because it is, again, it is about who we know and the fact that He loves us and that we are built on a firm foundation. And what I'm trying to do this morning is shake the scaffolding that we have built. Is it firm? Does it stand up under the scrutiny? Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. One of the traditions that I really love, and we don't need to talk too much about, is haystacks. You know that that is a Seventh-day Adventist tradition. You step outside of the Seventh-day Adventist church and you say, haystacks, and they think, haystacks. Cows. Sometimes we eat like cows when we eat haystacks, but... So some traditions are neither good nor bad, they're just what they are. They're part of the culture of the church, and it's neither good nor bad, it's just what it is. How about this one? How about children's story? Have you ever thought about why we have a children's story? Thank you. Pretty simple. For the kids. Most kids, I remember when I was a child, and it's been a long, long time ago, I got rather bored rather quickly. And so the children's story was an opportunity. Maybe we need to rename it. Maybe we need to rename it Children's Sermon. Because isn't that really what it is? What we're doing is we're presenting to the kids an aspect of God's character. God loved you so much that He brought that dog back to you. What about clapping in church? Someone's up front, and their special music is beautiful. And I know that some people say, well, you're applauding the person that did it. Not really. So what do? We say a hearty amen. And that's good. You know, it means the same thing. Amen. An applause audience is usually applaud for a performance such as a musical concert or a speech or a play or a sign of enjoyment and approval. And isn't that the exact same reason that we say amen? So be it. The word, it means so be it or indeed or truly. It is letting the person know that you agree with what they have done or what they have said. What about singing hymns? We had a mix this morning, and thank you. Which, by the way, if you were to take, I have a hard time coming up with titles. Customs, Cultures, and the Glory of God. You know what that really could be broken down to? The Heart of God. one of the songs. It's the heart of God. Why do we sing hymns? Culture? Tradition? Or is it simply taste? I love some of the old songs. I love some of the new songs. I love music when I'm not the one doing it because I don't do so well. I'm slightly better than my dad. My dad carried his tune in a bucket. And mine echoes out just a little bit once in a while. What about interacting with a sermon? And I think there's a time and a place for it. It sometimes depends on the type of sermon. But you know, if we did that in every single sermon, unfortunately, we would extend our sermon time way beyond what most people are capable of sitting in a pew. And you know, sometimes I think we need to do exactly that. That's what our teen Bible study is. It's opening the Word of God as a group and studying it and talking back and forth. It's kind of like Sabbath school, isn't it? So I get it. And here's one that I need to be very careful with. What about the formality of church? No talking between Sabbath school and church, because we must be reverent. I get reverent. Webster, however, has changed my mind just a little bit. Webster defines reverent as a feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. You're going, oh, yeah, that's good. What does solemn mean? Webster. Formal. Dignified. Okay. Not cheerful or smiling. Serious. Dignified. Showing composure or a serious manner that is worthy of respect. Whose respect? Whose respect are we trying to earn? I'm not trying to earn your respect like this. This has nothing to do with respect. I would bet if you ask Pastor Don, when he gets up here and preaches, he's not looking for your respect. What he's looking for is your heart to be changed through the message that God brings. That there again, we're going back to a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ and nothing else. I cannot earn your respect by the way I look or the way I act or the way I talk. Well, maybe act a little bit. But if that's what reverent is, then I'm sorry, I don't want it. I'm not interested in coming to the house. Do you know where you're at? Do you know who he is? He died for you and for me. And yes, there needs to be a level of, I don't know what you would call it. I used to call it respect, reverence. Respect maybe is a little bit better. This is how we should enter into the courts of God. And this is not my words. Psalms 100. Whew, I don't know if I can do this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He is the one who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Isn't that what we're doing? Is we're coming into the presence of God when we come to church. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is God and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. That is not mournful, my friends. That is not coming into a church and not saying a thing. But let's go to one more before we move on here. Psalms 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he formed them, and his hand formed the dry land. Come, let us worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why? For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. But now here's the difference. When you come into the back of the sanctuary, what are you talking about? We can and we should at all times be expressing gratitude for God for what he is doing and what he has done in our lives. And that is the type of thing that when we come into the sanctuary, we should be talking about. And I'm sorry if it offends someone, but you know something? Last week's football game really doesn't pale in comparison to what God has done for us. It says, shout to the Lord. We need to be really careful what we bring. I understand respect. And again, it is not about what we talk with people, with our friends and our family. It's about what we say. Do we bring in this last week? Yeah, but we bring in what God has done in our lives to share, to uplift, to encourage, not to stifle. So why do we do the things we do in church? Do we have a solid reason for it? Does it bring honor and glory to the name of God? What is glory? What is glory? Well, a few examples. Joshua 7:19, Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel." It's right there in the Bible. It says what the glory of God is by telling the truth. So when you're honest, you're bringing glory to God. 1 Chronicles 16:28, and I think that probably is supposed to say 29. Give the Lord, O families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory, do his name. And then it says how? Bring an offering before him. So when you bring our offerings to God, we're bringing him glory. Psalms 96 says, worship him in the beauty of his holiness. The glory of God is the beauty of his holiness, which is sway. The glory of God is the beauty of his spirit. It is not an aesthetic beauty or a material beauty, but it is the beauty that emanates from his character, from all that he is. Psalms 19:1-6. The heavens, and I love this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes it to the circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived from its worth. That is part of the character of God. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, revealing the soul. How is the law of God displayed again? It's in His character. And what is the character of God? Galatians 5. Everybody know what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is? Say it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit. That is the character of God. That is His glory. That is how we can manifest God's glory to the people around us. By manifesting the fruits of His Spirit. Love. Love for one another. You know, love looks differently to everybody. And I love the one definition that to me is the absolute best about love is wanting someone else's best good. That's what love is. It doesn't need to be here even, but it does need to be here. You know, Ravi Zacharias says, the longest trip you will ever take is the one from mind to heart. Because we can know it, but unless it comes out in our heart. We do it by joy. We come into the presence of God with joy. Or are we so concerned about being reverent that we conceal one of the attributes of God, one of His characteristics? By peace. A peace that passes all understanding. By forbearance. I'd like to skip over this because, well, forbearance is refraining from an enforcement of something such as a debt, right, or obligation that is due. It's not like these are things that are not due. These are due. But forbearance is refraining from demanding that. We do it by kindness. We do it by goodness, by faithfulness, by gentleness, by self-control. It takes a lot of self-control sometimes, doesn't it, to not to tell those kids to be more reverent. When I was about 3 years old, my dad was the head deacon. And back then, way back then, the head deacon and his family sat on the front row. That's where you sat. I was a very active child. It's a nice way to put it. Some way about midway through, my dad had had enough, and he'd already told me a number of times, if you don't sit still and be quiet, I'm going to have to take you out. There was no doors like we could do here, so you can just... So I tried really hard, but I couldn't do it. And my dad picked me up, and we walked right out through the center of the church. And I knew what was coming. And so I was just starting early. Owie, 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 all the way out the church. And the church did exactly this. Everybody was laughing. In fact, by the time we got out the door and into the back and onto the front steps, my dad sat me down and we sat down there together and my dad said, don't you ever do that to me again. And he picked me up and we walked straight back into the church. They're learning. It's a process with kids. Or maybe they have it right and we have it wrong. I believe someplace, I believe it is in Matthew, Jesus says, except ye become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now I understand when a child is crying, there's a reason for taking the child out. It's not to spank the child some more, it's to comfort them. But when a child is happy, leave them alone. Because they're doing what we should be doing. And they'll learn. I'm still a work in progress. You can ask my wife about that. Thank you for that. But I'm trying. Again, I'm not here today to tell you what we should or shouldn't be doing in church. What I am saying is if you want to lift up your hands, lift them up. Because God accepts our worship. And that is a part of worship. Open hands, accepting Him. Telling God when you raise your hands with open hands, Lord, there's nothing. I'm not holding on. I have nothing here. Please take my hand, fill my hands with You. Because my only goal, my only purpose in life is to glorify God. If you want to applaud, do it. Some of that goes on two sides of this issue. There's some of us that have been so long in a church that when people applaud, we feel uncomfortable. So what? I may not applaud, but that doesn't mean you can't. You see, worship is personal. We come together as a corporate body to individually worship God. I do ask you that as you go home today, wherever your little quiet place is in your home, in the quietness of your thoughts and your prayers, that you ask God, what am I doing? Am I doing this for You? Or am I doing it to look good? Back to the tie for a moment. One of the gentlemen I asked, why you wear a tie? He said, well, you know, it's interesting because this morning when I woke up, I just felt like wearing a tie. He said, I tied it three times. I think that's what he said. It was close. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. And he said, then I all of a sudden started to think, why am I tying this tie? Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for them? Or am I doing it for God? I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear your tie in church. If you want to wear a tie in church, wear a tie in church. Praise the Lord. I'm good with that. You should be good with it one way or another too, because it's not your decision. That's between you and God. Everything that we do has to go back to the same basic premise. It is between you and God and nobody else. You cannot tell me how I have to get to heaven. Only God can. And in our culture, sometimes we have forgotten that. All of this, Isaiah 55:6 tells us to search for God while He may be found. I can tell you that in the overall picture of this world, there's not a great deal of time left for us to do that. That God will eventually withdraw His presence from this world. And we need to be able to stand. It's a personal relationship with you and with God. Once you have that personal relationship, the things that we do here neither hinder nor help. It's just what we do. The personal relationship with God is allowing God to speak through you, through whomever it is that's talking up front. It's interesting that in most cases, if you were to take a handful of the people out of this congregation on any given Sabbath, take them into a separate room and you ask them, so what did you get out of the sermon today? You take six people in there and you probably would have seven different answers. Because God works on our hearts individually. The things that we do can only enhance that relationship if we have a relationship and we are not then distracted by our custom or our culture. And it's because we are here to bring honor and glory to God, even if we lift up our hands.
Thank you, Kevin. Active child. I'm glad he preached that sermon, and I didn't have to. Actually, it's very interesting. I didn't put him up to it, but he basically has given a great introduction to my 2 o'clock seminar with the music people. So that's great. I couldn't help but think of a few things, Kevin. I don't want to add to or take away, but I appreciate it. It kind of reminded me of the old days, you know, if you weren't quiet in your sleep in your church, or you start sleeping in church, the old timers used to have a feather for the women and a steel ball for the men. One of the things I'm going to show this afternoon is one of Ellen White's quotations is, as a church in worship, we should not sing funeral hymns. In the pews, some of you will find these cards, and I just want to share with you, if you're good, I don't have a mic on, I want to share with you, please take a card out. If you want to put down a prayer request or a praise report, write on the card. Also, there's areas where you can check off things like you'd like to have a visit from an elder or a pastor or baptism or Bible studies. You feel free to take a card out and fill it out. We'd love to hear from you and your desires. Our offering today is church budget. I understand that some people actually think that